You're recording.
Thank you.
Okay, we are back in open session. And Ms. Solomon, did you want to get things off?
Yeah, I'll be happy to. In response to what you're proposing, I would like to make a motion that we offer a new consent agreement that would, Dr., and help me along, Mark, Victoria, with the wording at any point, that Dr. Bella Pianta cannot apply for reinstatement or a new license until she can prove to the board that she is safe and competent to practice veterinary medicine.
I think, and if we want to just kind of a little background on kind of some thoughts here, but
sure.
It sounds like, it just seems like this is a big burden, what we're currently doing right now. I mean, we don't have the money to go through these appointments. This has been dragging on since July. We really haven't made any headway, which is why these expenses are building up and we've been having issues. It sounds like this is an overwhelming issue to deal with. It sounds like there's some outside things that still have to be dealt with through the courts, possibly, I don't know. And maybe that's why we're not getting all the information yet, but it sounds like this is just an undue burden on Dr. Bella Pianta at this point. Because of that, and because we don't want to hold you to hold you to terms that you just can't do anymore, we think the best thing to do would be not to be looking at practicing medicine. Basically pulling back from veterinary medicine, focusing on you, making sure that you can go through the steps you think you need to go through to safely and competently practice medicine in the future. And once you can do that and prove that to us, we're not holding you to a specific standard, specific regulation, specific terms, but you can kind of come up with those terms, get to that finish line on your own, and then come back to us at that point and reapply for a license.
I think the question that I have is she's not presently licensed. She is in a lab status. And so I'm trying to think about jurisdictionally if the board can.
So she's in a lapse status?
Technically suspended.
Yeah.
Well, what happens is, there's a provision of law that if somebody is the subject of a board complaint and chooses not to renew, their license goes on suspended status until that complaint is resolved. And so that's also where we're at with the status of the license.
So I guess the question is, what does that do? What does her status then reflect as in the event that she were to accept the agreement? That's where I'm confused, because she's in a suspension status right now. The board already has in place under its statute, there's a statute that specifically says that when she renews, while under an she has to either attest that she's not under investigation, or it goes to that other statute that talks about when she renews, the board does get another crack at it. So I guess it just seems to determine her fitness. It's going to be able to do that anyway already.
Well, I think what the board may consider is entering into a consent agreement that memorializes how we got here with the terms being, and the board will have to modify or accept or reject, but something along the lines that she agrees not to renew her license, which she hasn't, but she just agrees to it. And then if and when she either seeks the reinstatement of that license or applies for a new license in the future, she will have to meet the minimum requirements set forth in the board's statutes and rules, just like anybody else. And part of that is establishing her ability to safely and competently practice at the time of seeking reinstatement or a new license.
And I believe that's, the reason I'm questioning is just that's already a requirement, essentially,
right,
for her to reinstate. So if she comes across money today, she reapplies, she pays Shia, she does her thing, the board still has to approve her reapplication.
Right.
So if the act is just to memorialize, instead of offering a consent agreement, can't the board just simply, you know, based upon how this is agendized, can't they just put that in the minutes? I mean, there doesn't need to be a board action on that.
That's an option for the board. I'm just not sure that they're prepared to, in essence, what you're asking them to do is just, you know, dismiss this complaint.
Right. I don't necessarily agree that I'm asking them to just dismiss the complaints overall, because the complaints, underlying complaints, haven't been adjudicated since we're still in, this is an interim consent, it's not a final consent. So the board hasn't adjudicated the complaints yet. I don't know if I'm seeking a dismissal of the complaints. She obviously does need to provide you the information regarding the conclusion of her DUI case, and obviously come back and talk about the matter in front of the board regarding her, what got her in the first place. I guess I'm just, you know, I don't know that turning this into a final disposition really changes anything, except that she now will have, I don't even know what the format, would this be a disciplinary disposition of the case? Because she's under laps right now.
It would be.
So I guess the main concern here is we have in our consent agreements what we are requiring.
Right.
You can't do that.
Right.
So where's the impasse here? What do we
right.
do? And that's what we're trying to figure out. Is,
then you don't have to do it.
Is we have what we're telling you to do. We've had that since June.
Right.
And you guys haven't been doing that. Right. So you're saying there's no money, there's no this. We understand that completely. We're giving you a way out of that. Finish up, do everything you can do on your own. Go about it. Go find that finish line, and however you're going to cross that finish line, now you're safe and confident to practice. Then come back, prove it to us, and you're good to go. I think that's the easier way, because we have the requirements in here. We're not getting those requirements done. So what are we to do?
And we're not going to give up those requirements.
Yeah, right. That's
I
not
think
changing.
That's the main thing, is we're not
and
just going to...
I think, too, the requirements, like we keep hearing costs, right? Mm-hmm. That we've taken away her ability to practice, and so she can't afford to pay these bills. Part of that is a personal desire to want to fix the situation. Mm-hmm. And we don't see that there's desire to fix this in a way that meets the board's requirements. There's requirements that are there. I get that finances are an issue, but guess what? There's other ways to make money. And we're not seeing that there's a desire to fix that. So until she wants to fix it, and she wants to prove to the board that she's stable and ready to practice again, I don't think there's anything we can do.
Yeah, this is getting repetitive.
You know, obviously, I've spoken to the cost issue. Regarding the desire issue, I would note, you know, she has, to the things that she has the wherewithal to be able to comply with, notwithstanding the finances, she has the sponsor, she's doing the AA, she's meeting with Dr. Siegel, she's seeking additional insurance to be able to bring in the other services that are necessary. So I think there is certainly a desire on her part. I understand that it is the speed at which could be seen as a lack of desire, but I think it's really more of she is doing what she can with the very limited to zero resources she presently has. So to that extent, I'm not going to be able to speak against the fact that she has no money. I can't change that.
No,
I can say, though, to advocate for my client and the licensee, I do think the desire is there. And so I just want to be very clear.
Okay, that's fair. That is, you know, an opinion we don't need to argue about.
Eight months ago, was the financial situation the same?
The situation has spiraled essentially. But 8 months ago, she did pay for the Keen eval. She did go to Dr. Shaya. She did the testing that was required, including hair testing, which is more expensive. So you can see the resources when they were there. She was applying those resources.
But you do understand that all the information has been forthcoming from the beginning. We've kind of had information trickle in over time, which changes things. And the fact that we weren't forthcoming about that, when we were going to find it out anyway, pushes these things out. And now that's going to change how we're saying, okay, we need to make sure this is done the right way. So this has been drug out unnecessarily.
Yes.
We deal with these kinds of cases all the time.
Sure.
We should have been halfway through this thing by now almost. Right. I mean, this is being drug out. And I understand we have civil rights and everything. That's fine. But we have to go through and make sure that we're safe to practice with the public. We are a whole different thing than a criminal court. And I understand if information doesn't want to be released, but when we find out about it, that's going to change these things. I mean, we're on a third interim agreement. I can't remember the last time we've had to change interim agreements that many times. So because what we're doing does not seem to be copacetic or compatible with how her life is going at this point, what we're saying is, let's part ways. She can kind of finish this all on her own, however she wants to get to that finish line, let's do that. And then let's come back and practice medicine, because we need veterinarians. Our goal is to bring her back into medicine. We don't want to lose veterinarians. That's not our goal. Our goal is to protect the public. And how this has been going, we can't comfortably say we're protecting the public. So I think, since what we're saying, and saying you need to do this neurology appointment, these kinds of things that we cannot do, okay, go on your own, finish it up, get to that finish line, then come back to us, prove that you can do it, and let's go from there. Let's start over. I think that's the best way, is just professionally separate the ways for now, do it on your own, and then come back. That's where we're at right now. I don't see any other way.
Because right now we're in a state of non-compliance.
I think you're in a state of substantial compliance. I would disagree.
Can I finish my sentence, please?
My apologies.
The non-compliance deals with the fact that the neurological appointment, the board wasn't, non-compliance, not forthcoming. The board, the staff were informed, it was testified to in open session, that the neurological evaluation with Dr. Shire was going to happen on March the 2nd. Based on that, we requested a report 15 days later. We find out that something miraculously, that appointment disappeared. Was it canceled by Dr. Bella Pianta? Was it canceled by Dr. Shire?
She did meet with Dr. Shire. The issue is that the Shire report was not at the level that did not have, or the information was set up as a visit, and it was not, he did not complete what he wanted, what we would have been required of him. And there were resources that were required for him to pay further.
It's my understanding, and correct me if I'm recalling this not totally accurately, is that it was a PA that conducted the appointment and filed the report with the board, and it was for treatment of a migraine.
We turned over what Dr. Shia's office provided to us, and when it became clear that Dr. Shia's office was non-compliant, or there was a miscommunication, the next step would have been for her to reset that. And again, there were the resources issue. We turned over the report that we had to be transparent with the board staff.
Did Dr. Bella Pianta cancel the March 2nd appointment for financial reasons? What happened to it?
I think it's fair to say, and I'll let her answer, but she has attended, she did go to a visit. I think that visit, there was a miscommunication, which I'm not in that room, so I'm not privy to that. You can ask questions to Dr. Bell Piant about that visit. What got generated was a medical appointment, and there were additional things needed from Dr. Shai's office to comply with the board order, and there is a subsequent visit that is needed, and again, we're in the resource situation at that point.
Was a copy of the consent agreement that Dr. Bella Pianta was under at the time provided to Dr. Shia's office prior to that last appointment?
Yeah. And I believe it was also provided by board staff in the materials that were sent over to Dr. Shia.
That was the day after, because the appointment was moved from March the 2nd to February the 14th.
My understanding is that Dr. Bella Pianta did provide a copy of the consent agreement at the time. Is that accurate?
Yeah.
Okay,
so where are we at here? On the agenda, we need to take action on compliance with the consent agreement.
I think we just offer a consent agreement to our terms and move to a formal otherwise.
Yeah. Okay, so
I'd like to offer a consent agreement, as I was stating before, states that that includes the background of where we've been since June.
Right. The findings that were reflected in the
interim consent agreements.
Yeah.
That prior to as part of any reinstatement, and that's my understanding from Victoria. Once we're past relapsed, it's gone into suspension, but Dr. Bella Pianta can apply for reinstatement for up to 3 years from the date of relapse?
Is that correct?
Okay. Well, if she applies for reinstatement or a new license, that she's going to need to prove to this board that she is safe and competent to practice veterinary medicine. And if you want to know what that includes, you can look at what we've requested in the prior consent agreements.
Okay, and so then we need to find the findings of fact.
Okay, findings of fact would be the same that are in the third interim consent agreement.
And referencing the previous two.
That is for cases 22-136, 22, or 2303?
Yes.
Yes, I'd say in the previous three consent agreements.
Yes. Findings of fact in the previous consent agreements are still interim. Valid, I believe.
Three interim consent agreements.
Number
one, two, and three.
Yeah.
Okay, Mark, did we do that correctly?
Yeah, I think it's those, and then you know, fairly capturing how we got to this point based upon information shared today.
Okay, so we have a motion for a new consent agreement. Do we have a second?
We need to accept the findings of fact.
Yes.
So I make a motion to accept the findings of fact in the previous three consent agreements and the information that was disclosed today.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? Let's do roll call on this. Dr. James?
Dr. Byrne?
Aye.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James is an aye. Mr. Lohe?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
And Dr. Wright?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. Do we need to do anything?
Conclusions of law.
So I make a motion to accept the conclusions of law in the previous three
interim consent agreements. Yes.
And the any pertinent information from
yes.
I think because this is a final disposition, you may want to refer to seven. Those just cite to the board's authority to enter into interim consent agreements.
Okay, so.
ARS 32-22-32, number 7.
Yeah. Yeah,
so moved on that.
Second.
Oh, thank you, that was a motion. Second.
Okay, a motion and a second. Again, any further discussion? Okay, roll call.
Dr. Byrne?
Aye.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James is an aye. Mr. Lohe?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Dr. Wright?
Aye.
And adding to what I said before, if not signed within 15 days, it goes to formal.
Okay.
Well, so we did conclusions of law, findings of fact, and conclusions of law.
Yeah.
Now, are we voting on
the act or about reinstatement, applying for reinstatement, or a new license?
No.
That Dr. Bella Pianta would need to prove to the board that she was safe and competent to practice veterinary medicine, and the methods of proof that she is safe and competent are reflected in the three previous interim consent agreements.
And would be evaluated by the board that is here at the time that comes in.
Correct.
Because
correct.
We will likely not be.
Right. Correct. Yes. And if not signed within 15 days, goes to a formal hearing.
Victoria and Mark, are we
anything else?
Anything that we're missing?
I think part two, if I don't know how this works exactly, but we're offering this as a consent agreement. If the consent agreement is not what meets their needs at this point in time and they decline to sign it, can we get a proposal back on what this looks like? Because I'm kind of at a loss.
Well, we're just going to do a formal at that point.
I know we'll go to a formal, but we still
because we're not going to subsidize ongoing treatments and whatnot. This is a way to clean cut end it.
I get that this is a way to clean cut end it, but they have to sign it.
Yeah.
Right.
If they don't sign it, we're not clean cutting ending anything.
Well, that's what the formal.
We will.
We will, but it'll be
informal.
Then it goes to a formal, and they have the right to be there for the formal.
Right.
And at that point, I would kind of want to hear what is a viable option for them, because I don't see what the middle ground is. If you're not going to sign it, what is it that you're not signing it for? Because you're not meeting what we've already set forth, and that's what I guess I'm missing.
But that's the purpose of the formal, though, is to present the evidence as to why.
And that's
their
what I was
side is being supported.
Well,
so
what I'm hearing
we're
is
not there.
The board's
yeah,
trying,
it's like we're not there.
I think the board's just trying to offer a professional way to resolve this.
Yes.
If she chooses not to enter into the consent agreement that would bring closure to this, then your only real option is to, well, you have two options. One, to maintain the status quo, which from this discussion is probably not a viable option, or then to remand it to formal hearing for the revocation of her license.
Yes.
And there's actually, there would be an interim either once it's sent to formal or it, once we receive the consent agreement, if we were, I'm not saying we're going to, but if we were to make edits to conclusions of law or to the terms of what you're proposing, it would basically, the attorneys and Victoria could do that and then present it back to you to approve or deny that. Or if we went to set for a formal, we can trigger a settlement conference, which we'd be in exactly the same place. Just from a behind the scenes, typically when Mark and I work together, if there needs to be tweaks, it'll be done in conjunction with the attorneys and the executive director of the board. And then if the board needs to sign off on it, there's a process for that. So essentially, you are making a proposal. We're going to evaluate any proposals that are made like we always would. And then that would sort of dictate the next step.
Madam Chair, I would say in this specific consent agreement, no.
Right.
That doesn't happen. Right. This is done and over with, and you're not coming in here every month, and we're not talking about this every month.
What?
And she's going to take care of herself.
Are we allowed to even do that? I mean, there's a due process.
It is a due process. It's been going on since June.
The due process is that you're offering, in essence, a consent agreement that's non-negotiable. It's either you accept it or the matter gets remanded. Mm-hmm.
Right. It is or it isn't.
Yes.
Your due process is recorded at the administrative.
So let's just wait and we're offering what is going to happen, and then we don't need to speculate, but Victoria, right. Jump in.
Madam Chair, Dr. James, one thing I think, if I could just put it, I see it much more simply, is that she has the option right now, today, to reinstate her license and start working again under these terms. She's chosen not to do that. She does have that option. So that's the middle ground, Dr. James, is she has the middle ground now. She's choosing not to take it.
And we're trying, the board is trying to respond to what you were proposing as her legal representative.
And
that's our response.
And what I'm saying is, as I will in any case, if a proposal is made, we will evaluate it and we will take the appropriate action. And we always will do that in an efficient way to attempt to resolve cases. And so we'll look at whatever is provided to us.
Okay, thank you. Are we finished on this item?
I think so.
We
have to vote on the actions that I mentioned.
And
please don't.
And making it clear that whatever we write is that's the final. We're not going to entertain anything in back. So I want to, because that would change how I vote.
Yeah. This is basically, this is what we're saying. It's non-negotiable. If we decline it, we're going to a formal.
Yes. This is it. We're not coming back every month for another 8 months.
Okay. Let's do a vote.
Okay.
Dr. Byrne.
Aye.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Ms. Ross?
Aye.
Dr. James is a nay. Mr. Loheed?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Dr. Ray?
Aye.
Motion passes. Okay.
Thank you, board.
And Chair, I have other matters. I don't know if you want to call those or you want to meet back.
Yeah, can we do Dr. Hisrich real quick? Are you still?
Yes.
You work? Okay.
Yeah, so she is. She's on the phone because her father is hospitalized right now.
Okay.
And
yeah,
so we spoke to Ms. Whitmer ahead of time on that.
Dr. Hisrich, it's Tracy from the Veterinary Board.
Hi, Tracy. How are you?
Good. The board's ready to review the agenda item, and your attorney,
okay.
Mr. Carey's here as well.
Excellent.
Great. So just for the audience, we are on section 4, item number 3, 20107, in regards to Aaron Hisrich, DVM. Board may review, discuss, and take action on information that is presented. I am the lead on this. Ms. Frost is recused, and she's already moved. So Dr. Hisrich, your attorney is here as well, and I'd like to just start with letting you guys share anything you'd like to share
Sure. As has been the way we've handled this case, I'll defer to Erin to give you an update on her situation, compliance, and then I have a few questions for the board, just given our timing right now on the matter. But I'll obviously defer to the licensee, Erin. So if you want to just kind of give an update to the board.
Yes. Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for allowing me to appear by phone. And my dad's doing much better, but he's had a number of cardiac scares this past week. And so I really appreciate your flexibility on that. Mostly, I just want to tell you all that I'm doing really well, other than being a little sleep deprived with this new baby. She's doing fantastic. And I'm so excited about her, about being a mom, and things are going really well. She's going to be 3 months old on Saturday, and she's absolutely thriving, and I feel like I am as well.
Great. So, Dr. Hisrich, are you back working, or are you still on maternity leave?
I'm still on maternity leave. I was able to save up enough money last year and have been pretty frugal and planning to spend a full 6 months with her if I can. I picked up a few shifts as needed. The folks at Village Vet have asked me to cover a couple of shifts for them in June for a specific doc that's going on vacation, but short of just a handful of relief shifts, I plan to take the full 6 months if the practices I work with are amenable to that. I know one of the other practice owners wants to sit down with me next week and kind of get a timeline and a place in plan. But ideally, I'd spend this time with her. It's everything everyone told me it would be, and more.
And more.
So do you
and
have,
more.
Do you have, it sounds like you do have help then from family, because I know you're a single mom, and I can only imagine, you know, when you don't have somebody to tag in the, you know, yeah, in the evening hours. So how are you doing with, you know, just, I know the whole idea of like time for yourself is just doesn't exist after you have kids, but are you able to kind of get some help so that you can get out a little bit, or?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm incredibly fortunate. The first month, I did have a number of complications with the delivery and developed a pretty bad infection that took quite a while. And during that first month, I stayed with my older sister in Flagstaff, who's a nurse, and she had saved up a lot of time, so she took the first 3 weeks off and has been my absolute co-parent in this. And then more recently, we've been spending time in Camp Verde at my parents' house, and it's really nice. I'm, of course, with her all night, but my dad takes her at about 6:30 in the morning for a couple hours and lets me go back to sleep. And then my mom takes her in the evening so I can have dinner and take a shower. Yesterday, I left her for a little bit to go see a friend of mine nearby. And I'm making sure I'm getting plenty of time for myself, too. And then at the end of those couple hours, I miss her and I want her back.
Yeah, I totally understand. Well, I read the counselor report. I'm so sorry that your sister-in-law passed away. You know, are you handling everything? How's everything going there? And I know it sounds like it was a traumatic birth, but are you kind of doing well as far as coping and kind of working, you know, through all that and moving, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. There, the loss of my grandma was devastating to me personally for the loss of her, but also more so for the impact that it's had on my sister. Right. And trying to be there for her and be a big source of support. She's also staying with my parents, so when I'm down in Verde, my energy is split a little bit between in help, obviously taking care of my daughter, but then he's trying to serve as some grief support for my younger sister Amy as well. And that's something I've talked to Derek about at length, and I take breaks when I need to, but she's starting to do a little bit better. She's getting far more used with the baby as well, and we've been taking some long walks together, and then that gets Kaya out a little bit. It gets me some fresh air, and we spend a lot of time down in the barn with the horses. I just strap the little ones to my chest, and Amy does most of the stuff with the horses, but we stand back and have some time to talk, and she's slowly making progress, and the more progress she makes, the better I feel.
Right.
As well. I'm very worried about her.
Well, good. Well, it sounds like things are going well for you, and I know this newborn phase, I mean, I know sometimes it can feel long, but it's so short, and then before you know it, you know, they are sleeping through the night and causing havoc in other ways, but I don't know if anybody else has any other questions or comments for her.
We haven't seen any pictures yet.
Yeah.
So, well, if it's okay with Ms. Whitmore, I'd be happy to send some. I think I have at least 1,000.
Right. Would love it. So, okay, we'll turn it back over then to your attorney for now.
We do have the matter of just the timing between her quarterlies and the cessation of the agreement. Her end date is June 16th, and the next, if we were doing quarterlies, it would be July. I think the options to the board would be if you wanted to term at this point, if you wanted to set her for June, or set her for June 21st so that you're as close possible to her termination date. Either one of those would work. She's been compliant with drug testing and all the board's requirements. She's appeared as required and has been, you know, obviously she's progressed. I'm surprised. I looked at this morning, and it's been 3 years. So
I know, right?
It's a case that has progressed the way the board wants these to progress. And so the question just remains: if you wanted to term her, the consent agreement does allow it. If you wanted her back in June, the consent agreement, nothing would stop you from. You actually have a clause that says you can call her in front of the board whenever you choose to.
Okay.
So we'd ask that you exercise one of those two options. Obviously. Just from an efficiency perspective, if you wanted to term her, you could. If you needed her back, you could notice her up for June on the 21st.
Okay. Victoria, any thoughts or any?
Madam Chair, members of the board, just so everybody, so the actual language says, upon successful completion of the terms of the order, respondent should request formal review by the board, and after formal review by the board, respondent's veterinary license may be fully restored by the appropriate board action. So.
Okay. Yeah. So I could definitely send something in writing, and I don't know that it requires. Does it require a board visit for that term? We're saying the board can vote on a consent. I don't know the answer.
As I read this, it doesn't. Her next time, as you said, would be July. So mm-hmm. that is outside of that. So I would not think that she would have to come back. But the board could take action in June.
Yeah. And we could certainly, if the board wanted to put it on consent, I don't think there's any requirement to not do that. So we could make a request to Victoria, and you could put it on the next consent as you saw fit at that point.
Okay.
So she could send baby pictures or come in gym.
Right.
I think that's fair.
Okay, sounds good. So is that all the action we need to take then, Victoria, since we're gonna?
I believe so.
Okay.
Unless Lauren has
something else. No. I mean, it sounds like you're putting the ball back in our court to request a termination, and we'll do that.
Okay.
Cool.
All right.
Sounds good. Dr. Hisrich, you take care. Enjoy that baby. Did I hear you say you named her Kaya?
Sorry?
What did you name your daughter Kaya?
I did, yeah.
Okay. I love that name. It's my dog's name. Okay.
Well, it's a Danish theme. I thought I should honor that part of her.
Love it. Love it. Well, great. Okay, well, you take care, and we'll just wait to get the letter from your attorney, so we're good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Stay well.
So should we, I know we had a break an hour, does anyone want to take another little break before